Welcome to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast, a radical anti-capitalist approach to herbalism, self-care, and the tarot. Welcome to the 100th episode of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. This is Karina. Y'all, I'm going to keep this brief because I've already done a lot of explanation around leaving the podcast and handing the podcast over to a new host, and that's really going to be the focus of today. I'm excited today to introduce you to the new host, Tavi Waits, who is a community herbalist and community organizer and so much more. I'll let them explain all about herself in the interview. But I'm really excited. I've been speaking with Tavi since July. We've been in communication. I feel super confident about her taking on the show. And I know that the content that Tavi is going to produce is going to be amazing. It's going to be similar to Rise Up Good Witch content, but different because they are a different person. I'll just say, I think everybody who wants to follow what I'm doing probably already joined the mailing list or the Patreon or follows on Instagram, but I'll say that I do have a few things as I'm transitioning out of Rise Up Good Witch that I would like to share before we move on to the episode. First, I have a new website, karinarosella.com. I'll put the link in show notes. The website isn't really going to be fully up until February. But for now, I opened a new members area, and that's just to keep in touch with the folks on Patreon and to get access to extra content. It's called the Desert Witch Portal, and Desert Witch Portal contains a huge archive of work that I shared on Patreon from 2018 to 2022, as well as other content that I created for workshops. It includes the Desert Witch Diaries, which will be kind of like my Instagram, but extended posts about plants, astrology, tarot, in a narrative fashion with sociocultural implications, leftist politics, etc. As well as an archive of Rise Up Good Witch episodes. You may have noticed that quite a few Rise Up Good Witch episodes are no longer available for streaming. And that's just because, there's a lot of reasons behind that, but I made the decision to take some of the episodes that are more personal to me and create a paywall behind them. And I don't know. I don't really know if I need to explain that. We live in capitalism. I don't want to feel like I'm putting work out there that I don't want out there. That's just like completely for free. But again, I don't think that we always need to make explanations for how we want our work to be treated in capitalism. So you can go to karinarosella.com and check out Desert Witch Portal. Also going to have discounts to the shop, discounts on readings and classes there. And also flower essence case studies, which I want to do more of in the new year. And since now I've opened a shop in Yucca Valley called Milk Thistle. You can follow Milk Thistle. Our website is also going to launch in February, but you can follow us on Instagram in the meantime, Milk Thistle Yucca Valley. And that's where all of my energy really is going to go, but I still will be doing the online offerings because I want to keep in touch with folks. I love to teach. I love to engage. I love to write. But at the same time, Milk Thistle will be taking up the majority of my time. Unfortunately, it will not be paying me enough to live on. I don't assume for a long time, if ever, and that's why I have to keep my online work going. But I am really excited about the coming year. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in terms of the global picture, the national picture, in terms of politics, in terms of climate change. These are things that I all still have a very, like, kind of doom and gloom approach to. But at the same time, like, I know from my own journey that healing ourselves to help one another is our most important way forward. And I feel like for me, being in community, having a space in my local rural conservative community feels like the right way, as opposed to generating content and classes solely for an online purpose. That said, the exciting news is that I'm launching, because Tarot School for Liberation is closed, I knew that I wanted to move on to something else. I caught myself by surprise when, as I, you know, after I closed the class, I felt like, okay, I'm not going to teach at all online in 2023. I just think that I need a break. And then suddenly, just the way that Tarot School for Liberation was born back in around April of 2020, this new tarot school was suddenly like a bolt of lightning hit me. And I'm going to be launching a school called Three of Pentacles Tarot School for Applied Studies. And this is going to be a 10-month program, which features at this point about 8 other absolutely brilliant tarot practitioners, many of whom were podcast guests, and we'll be doing monthly workshops and practicum and helping people develop their own tarot reading framework. I'm really confident as I'm developing this course that anyone that takes the class and engages with the work regularly will be completely ready to launch their own tarot business after 10 months. I'm really excited about it. So definitely check out the mailing list. Sign up for the mailing list. Sign up for Desert Witch Portal. Follow on Instagram. I'll be sharing more info on the Three of Pentacles Tarot School for Applied Studies when it launches beginning of 2023. Also, really want to encourage folks to support Tavi in continuing this podcast. If you're already on the Patreon, I'd really encourage you to stick around for as long as possible and support their work. If you haven't joined the Patreon, check out the Patreon for their work. They're going to be launching new offerings there next month in January. She is also going to be launching her medicinal herbs website as well, which is under Manatee Medicinals, and you can follow that on Instagram. And she also has a new Instagram for the podcast, which is underscore rise up good witch 444. So I'll have the links to the Instagrams in the show notes. So definitely give Tavi a follow, check out their work, and support them in this transition. I know all of y'all are already going to love them, but make them feel welcome, make them feel seen, make them feel appreciated. That's really important. So thank you everyone again. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you to those who have supported the work. It's been such a joy, such an honor, such a journey. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And without more commentary, here it is. Here is the final interview with Tavi Waits, Manatee Medicinals, new host of the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. Hello, everyone. It is my great pleasure to introduce everyone to Tavi Waits of Manatee Medicinals, community medicine maker, educator, and storyteller. Welcome, Tavi. It's so wonderful to have you here today.
Hello. Hi, Karina. And hello, everyone out there. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And many of you may know Tavi's going to be taking over this podcast. So we wanted to do this interview today as a transition between myself as the host and Tavi as the host. So I would love for you to just tell everyone a little bit about yourself, share a little of your origin story and how you came to be here with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, gosh, there's so much to say. I'm really excited for this conversation. I'll start here. My name's Tavi Waits. I am a witch, a storyteller. I'm a community medicine maker. I'm a body worker and an educator. I have been living in so-called Portland, Oregon for the past 15 years. I am from a multiracial lineage of Black, Indigenous, and Ashkenazi Jewish ancestry, so Eastern European. I grew up in the southern Midwest in so-called Cincinnati, Ohio. I've also lived in Chicago. I identify as a leftist, queer, disabled, neurodivergent, non-binary, light-skinned, Black femme, and I live with persistent chronic illness kind of at the intersection of all these identities. So that's kind of the long list of identities. I've been making medicine in Portland and working with plants directly since about 2015. I had a prior life that was, I'm 35 now, and I had a prior life that was very different from who I am today. In a past life, I was a stand-up comedian and an arts journalist, arts and events journalist, for about 7 years. And around 2015, 2016, a wide variety of life experiences and events led me to kind of this hard left career shift towards working, working with holistic natural healing, and working with plant medicine. And I just kind of began to follow my intuition away from this other world that I was living in. I felt very, at the time, I didn't really know what it was. And I also didn't question it. It was just a very loud, like, hey, what if you went this way? What if you went over here? Look at this. And I also was in such deep, like, illness and pain in my life that it drove me towards just pursuing different modes of healing by myself. It led me to start studying traditional Chinese medicine, like, informally. It led me to going to massage school formally. My business, I have a small batch herbal medicine business that I have been officially running. It was born in 2018. And I have basically been kind of in different forms. Sometimes I'm more in production mode than others, other times. But I've been supporting folks and myself and my family as a community herbalist here in that channel as that business since 2018.
I love that. And we've been talking since, I think, July when I made the announcement on the podcast about having someone take it over. And I remember getting your email and I was just like, this person seems like a yes to me, like everything about you. And it was like the cherry, as I've told you, like, the cherry on the cake of the yes was like you being a stand-up comedian. Cause I was like, great. So you can talk about leftist politics and plant medicine and all of these different issues with like a sense of humor. Cause I think that is really important right now. And I would love to hear, you know, like you saying, you know, since 2018, you've been supporting yourself and your community with medicine through your apothecary. What types of medicine, I'm wondering, has been, you know, really supportive for you or for anybody around you? Like, what have you been making that's been really transformative?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, the first few years that it's changed a lot over time, as it does for everybody who does this kind of work. In the beginning, I was just the first few years, I was experimenting a lot and I was making like, I have ADHD, so I was making a ton of different things all the time and experimenting and seeing what worked and what didn't. And I also was doing what I would say is like a lot of research and development in that time in my community of getting a lot of feedback from people. And it took me a while to really focus in on, well, okay, sure, you make these 16 different things every year, but what if you had three things and focused on those? What is that you actually, like, you know, what am I called to? What do I really enjoy making? And it's narrowed down my focus a lot. So I love making anything for the nervous system and nervous system support. I live with complex PTSD, and that's can be a very, very difficult thing for people to treat, especially if they're like new to the diagnosis or if they don't know what it is, or if they're just coming into that part of themselves or even just having non-complex PTSD. I really love making medicine to help support people through, through cognitive challenges, things like symptoms like brain fog, symptoms of fibromyalgia, which is something that I live with. I think that especially a lot of young people of every age, but I see a lot of young people coming into these kind of really complex medical diagnoses in this medical industrial complex that is so indifferent and violent to us and only has so much to offer people who live with really complex conditions. And so I love making customized medicine for people, even if it's just supporting like one thing, like your sleep. Or I focus a lot on chronic pain management. I do make internal medicine like teas and tinctures, but I would say that the main medicines that I have focused in on really like getting the packaging down, making them beautiful, making them worth the price I make these, I call them bath salt teas, and they're these bulk bags of CBD infused herbal bath salts that are targeted kind of towards different things, like skin nourishment and support and different kinds of emotional support. Some of them have flower essences in them. Some of them have herbal glycerides in them. But they're really, really powerful and effective. And that's some of my favorite medicine to make is bath medicine. I really love bath medicine. As well as I make a product called Pain Zap Salve that is that I use basically every day on myself. That is a really powerful herbal salve. I make a lot of topical medicines, I'd say, as well as tinctures, teas, things like that.
Amazing. I can't wait to check out your apothecary. You said that are you launching a new line of products in December?
It's not a product line. It's just, I have been in a little bit of a liminal space since the beginning of the pandemic. Another big transition for me has been as a disabled person. My partner is also disabled. We're in a high-risk household. And so I used to do a lot of in-person live vending events. And now that mask mandates are lifted and it's not, this whole time, it hasn't been especially safe for me to do that work in person. So I've sort of been transitioning the back end of my stuff to launch a web shop. And I think right now I'm working towards, parallel and woven into this project of adopting Rise Up Good Witch. I will be, fingers crossed, launching my web shop finally in December. And so that'll be my Manatee Medicinals Apothecary. And then I will also be weaving in some of my offerings into the Patreon. So I will be adopting the Rise Up Good Witch Patreon as well as the podcast. So I think after November, I'm going to actually list and share, and maybe you can share with the community as well, like what my Patreon tiers will be. The like price points will stay the same, but I'll be offering, I'm not you. We make different things and have different capacities. So I will be starting out this Patreon very chill and slow and really ramping things up for 2023 in the new year in January.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that totally makes sense. You and I are clearly different people, shared interests, some things that we do are similar. But I guess like one thing that we talked about, and I know for me, it wasn't important for me to find somebody who, like, obviously none of us are exactly the same. So I didn't expect someone to like be me 0.2 or whatever. Like I wasn't like thinking that there would be someone exactly like me taking over, but I wanted us to kind of talk a bit about like, this is episode 100. Whenever the next episode comes out, that will be, it'll be your show. What kind of things do you think listeners can expect that will be similar, and what will be different moving forward?
Yes, it will definitely be different. I don't want to promise anything because I think that the approach that I'm taking is to under-promise and over-deliver in general. And for me with this project, I think that looks like keeping it really open-ended. I will say, I have some notes here from, I think the first conversation you and I had about like, where we were asking each other, like, well, what are your hopes for the future of this podcast? And some of the things I wrote down that you said, this is just like keywords list, that you said that you really hope the project can stay true to is social justice, leftist, queer, spirituality, and focusing on the magic. A quote I wrote down from you that I think is really beautiful is you said there's magic in healing from trauma. Some of the things that I wrote out in a little brainstorm free write that I did, a little low-key vision boarding, was I wrote radical comedy, self-care, community care, community herbalism, disability justice, herbal education. I really want it to continue to be like BIPOC centered and prioritizing in terms of like guests and also like the focus, neurodivergent magic, ancestral magic and practices, and you know, continuing to be queer and trans affirming. But I'd say like in terms of different, you know, this is all, you've been doing this for 5 years and there's been so many wonderful, incredible guests. And I think I'm really interested in interviewing a broader range of like magical and extraordinary guests who might not be, you know, herbalists, who might not have a business or like a formal practice even necessarily. People, I know not everybody who's on the podcast identifies as a witch, and you talk about that with people too, but folks who like might not even necessarily ID as witches, like people who are comedians or performers or multidisciplinary artists, musicians, disabled creators, especially. I'm really interested in keeping storytelling at the heart and soul of the experience, which I think like, you know, part of what's so healing about this project is like the ways in which you've connected with people and connected people with each other. I think it's kind of become this like, you know, nexus of really cool community where people can connect and collaborate with each other, and you have these other platforms like the Discord and these classes, and I want to keep exploring the storytelling element in a deeper way, which might include or look like continue the plant person origin story segment where like people record their own one person stories that like aren't a conversation. And I'm also interested in adding additional storytelling segments featuring myself and other guests. And I'm a really big part of who I am that I didn't even think about until I like sat down to start writing about this last night is that I'm like a huge media nerd. I love animation. I love cartoons. I love TV and movies and music. And I think I'd love, I'm also not, I guess this is an important core thing about me is that I am not an astrologer and I love tarot and I love working with tarot, but I don't consider myself like an expert or like a teacher of tarot. So those things will still be a part of the podcast, but I don't think they will be to the degree that they have been with you. Mm-hmm. So I may be shifting things towards talking with people about like what media or what practices are like keeping them going right now. Like, what are you watching? What are you interested in through kind of like a witchy and radical lens of, I love talking about pop culture things, but I'm really interested in weaving that in with the, you know, the ancestral work, like, and the herbalism, magic, astrology, all of that. So that's like a little bit of, yeah. that's more than a little bit. of what I'm hoping to weave in.
I think that's great. Yeah. And I don't consider myself an astrologer. And I mean, I don't consider myself a tarot expert. Like, I hate the word expert. I know some people, I feel like with the word expert, I've always been like, no one can be an expert. But then again, I'm like, I can't tell like BIPOC or other marginalized groups that hold different identities than me that they can't be an expert. But I'll just say that, like, I don't like the word expert. And obviously, you don't have to be an expert at anything to, like, you know, make a podcast at all. But I really do believe, like, you know, our stories, like, I love that you are someone who values storytelling, because I think it's sort of like, you know, it is an indigenous practice from, like, all, you know, lineages of the world. There are storytelling practice, like, that was considered an important way to, like, relay information and understand the world around us. And yet I think so much about the world that we live in now it's kind of like sanitized of personal narrative, and oftentimes personal narrative is very, like, shunned and stigmatized. And I hate that, because, you know, what is data? What is, like, a statistic anyway, except, like, a million little tiny stories that, like, give us information or data about a bigger thing? I'm probably, like, getting way too, like, existential with that, but, like, yeah, I just love that you're interested in, and I loved doing plant person origin stories and the tarot origin stories. I think it's great. Do you actually, you know, like, it's funny. Well, no, Karina, don't go on a tangent.
Please go on a tangent. Well, we're having a conversation. Go for okay. it.
I mean, I'm curious about your, you know, origin story. I know that you're, you know, you're going to have tons of time to share it, but something about your origin story of plants, because I was thinking about this today. Because I'm opening this shop in Yucca Valley, which is called Milk Thistle. And I just kind of knew intuitively that I wanted to call it Milk Thistle. But then today I was thinking, well, Milk Thistle was the first plant that I ever met in a medicinal way as medicine. It was the first tincture I ever bought almost 20 years ago, because I lived in a punk house in Portland, and one of my roommates, and I, like, had weird, like, everybody was just, like, going out to the dive bars, like, going to punk shows, drinking, getting really drunk. And my roommate and I were, like, hungover, hanging out. And she went into her closet. And it's funny, I keep in touch with her and I, like, tell her the story. And she's like, I don't remember any of this. But she went into her closet and, like, pulled out this, like, cardboard box, like, full of, like, herbal books and, like, witch stuff and supplements. And she just gave me a book and we were just looking at it. And she said, I said, well, what herb should I try? And she was like, maybe you should try Milk Thistle, you know, because it reverses liver damage after, like, a night of drinking. So I went to, like, it wasn't New Seasons then, it was something else. But I went to, like, that local store and I went down the aisle with all the tinctures. And I was just like, and around that time also, like, I've told the story about lemon balm, because that was the first plant that I got to know as it lived. But I went to the store to get Milk Thistle to start taking it for my liver. And anyone that knows, Milk Thistle is one of the most horrible tasting herbs that you can take. Really bad. So I wasn't very good at taking it. And I was kind of like, well, this is what working with teachers is like. So I kind of didn't. But I was thinking about that today. I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is, like, coming full circle, that really, I had, you know, this summer, I knew this year, I was like, I'm not going to do Rise Up Good Witch anymore, but I don't really know what's next. And it really just kind of, like, all unfolded in this magical way of, like, no, you're going to be more community-based. Cause I think, like, being in actual temporal space with people is so much better on my mental health than being, like, a influencer on the internet. Like, that is just so detached from humanity, and it doesn't serve me. And I don't think it ever did, but it did help to create a business. But I, you know, and of course, pandemic times, being, you know, being somewhat, as a person with an autoimmune disease, being, you know, somewhat immunocompromised, it's harder to gather in spaces, which is why I think your perspective on disability justice is so important. Because we need to gather in spaces, and yet how do we do so in ways that keep folks that are vulnerable to infectious disease safe, you know?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And no, it's a, like all very good inquiries. Yeah, there's, gosh, it's been such a, like a long path. I'd say like to your first question, one of the first herbs that, well, let me start here. The community part is so core. I wanted to answer that first with like, what are you working with right now that's really powerful? And thinking about like, especially complex trauma, which is, you know, for those who don't know, like, quote unquote, regular PTSD, level one PTSD is like from an acute event that happens, you know, somebody for veterans, perhaps, or like people who have one acute experience or just a couple of experiences that are somewhat easily treatable and a little bit easier to navigate, perhaps. And then there's complex trauma, which is a relational trauma, which happens from, you know, like long-term emotional neglect or abuse or physical abuse or things that have, you know, multiple experiences. I'm like a super traumatized person. And something that I find to be really true about myself is that I am equally as funny as I am traumatized. Like those things are very correlated to each other. And I think back when I was doing comedy, I really, I grew up in a theater family. So I grew up acting from a really young age. And I went to a public performing arts high school, one of the last ones left in the country. I kind of had this really interesting relationship with like performance and connecting with other people. And comedy, especially stand-up comedy, I was getting really good at, and I really thought that that was going to be it for me. And even though I had been in talk therapy, I hadn't yet gotten like a CPTSD diagnosis. And the one of the biggest shifts for me that set me on this path was recognizing that there was something off in how I was relating with other people. And recognizing that I had like these gaping wounds in myself, sometimes literal, mostly metaphorical, but like I had a lot of shit that I had not really like properly addressed or dealt with, especially in like my relationships. Like comedy is a very, you know, I don't drink, I've never been a drinker. Comedy is a very alcoholic and like it's very centered in bars and like cigarette smoke makes me desperately sick. Like I'm kind of a sensitive baby and comedy is sort of this brutal world that is also very kind of interpersonally shitty to be in a lot of times. And I, part of the biggest shift for me was like starting to find other kinds of, first of all, recognizing that not all these people were my friends and that I didn't have to be, like there were other communities that I could be a part of, especially like living as a person of color in the Pacific Northwest and having these really like repeatedly violent experiences with white people in my life, in and around comedy. And I started to shift towards, at the time there was this group here that was just starting called Sacred Lattice Collective. That was an all BIPOC herbal group. It was the first one I'd ever heard of here. And I sort of tapped into that and I started going to these workshops and learning about, you know, how to make tinctures, what an oxymel is, the fact that there are ancestral practices that were probably practiced in my lineages that I didn't know anything about. And really starting to learn about that stuff. And I refocused my life and probably the biggest shift for me has been like, constantly not just coming back to myself and my own body, but coming back to community. And I made medicine, I have still currently, I've gone in and out of like making medicine alone, like in isolation, which is kind of like an ineffective echo chamber, as I'm sure you know, like making medicine alone is kind of becomes depressing and it's very severed. And So trying to constantly like reconnect where I can to, back when I started, there were like very small groups of BIPOC people assembling here to have creative groups or like meetups. There used to be this thing called Brown Brunch, which was a bunch of cutie BIPOC people getting together once a month and making food together. These are communities that, like, where I'm from, people don't do that. Like, people don't need to seek out other people of color where I'm from. It just kind of happens naturally, and it's not really something you talk about, versus living in the Pacific Northwest, which is so very, can be very, very white. And finding those spaces and creating those spaces, being a community, I definitely consider myself a community organizer. And tapping into community has probably been like one of the biggest things to help me heal through my own like complex trauma, and also just connecting with others and creating spaces and helping to maintain spaces that already exist that like aren't mine. It's been a really big part of my practice, even when I'm not like quote unquote making regular medicine. I hope that answered at least a couple questions. Sorry, that was a lot.
No, do not apologize. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, so much from what you just shared that I, honor and like want to give a moment for everybody to absorb it. It is, I really resonated what you said about how complex trauma, as someone who only last year officially from a psychiatrist was diagnosed with CPTSD, it really does just change your whole brain about other people sometimes. Mm-hmm. And what you said about like making things in community is a healing experience. It is, but a lot of times when you have complex trauma that like has altered the way that you see yourself in the context of others and the way that you can develop trust and the way that you can commit to a rupture and repair process and the way that you can, make a be seen making a mistake and like forgive yourself and be forgiven. All of those things make community really hard. And I think you said something about how like my work has like created community. And I that's like something I'm really proud of. And the reason is because I have a really hard time. Like I have a great community where I live now and it's been work for me. It's been hard. Like I've had a hard time in community throughout my life. And many times I caused harm because I was having a hard time. And understanding the why behind it is so important in like breaking that pattern. Because we have to understand like why we are the way we are in order to like have real sustainable change. And that's a privilege. And a lot of people, never get to go on that journey of self-reflection. They're just in survival mode. So speaking for myself, I've had a lot of privilege to reflect and to get support and to heal myself and my trauma, which is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. But I think it's those of us often, it's kind of, okay, I'm going to get real cheesy and quote Brené Brown right now. I'm going to just like, quote out there. Yeah.
She's got a lot of good quotes.
She does. Yeah, she does. It's just kind of like quintessential podcast move. Like, we're gonna throw a Brené Brown quote in here. When she says, when you ask people about connection, they tell you stories of disconnection. Like for me, like creating community is so important to me because community has been very hard for me. And it's funny because people are always like, "You're really good at creating community," but like if I go. Like, I'm not good at, like, being in community. I mean, I would say I am now, but not 10 years ago at all. Not 20 years ago at all. So I really honor you bringing that up and just, like, about, finding BIPOC folks in the Pacific Northwest and finding community through medicine making, because there is something that like our health really connects us. And I think, you know, I've been reflecting on, yeah, like why do I want to create Milk Thistle? Well, it's because, you know, I got into plant medicine because I didn't have the language for it at the time. But I, as a young person, I always felt like there was something fundamentally wrong with me. Like I could never be enough. Like I wasn't a whole human. Like I wasn't a whole person. And like, therefore I could find myself feeling very disconnected and like even resentful and angry towards people that tried to like show me that I was a real person. And, you know, I found plants because I was like, nothing in the pharmaceutical industry is helping me. Like doctors aren't helping me, you know, mental health practitioners aren't helping me. I need something to make me feel better. Cause it's like this void of like disconnection and self-loathing is just like so much. And that's what brought me to plant medicine. And did it heal everything? No, I'm still walking around with the same void. Like it's still all the same thing. I'm 40, like I'm still going through all of the things, but there's like there's kind of like a radical acceptance around it with plants. And there's a connection to the earth. Like you know, and I always tell my clients and my friends and myself, I'm like, you don't need to do anything to be worthy, because that was my wound for a long time, is like needing to do things in order to be worthy. You don't need to do anything to be worthy. You just are worth, like your worthiness is that you're a human being on this earth. Like that's your value and your purpose. Like you don't need to like become like the CEO of like whatever thing you're doing, or like become an expert in your field. Like all you have to do is like go outside and like smell the rain and like feel, now I sound like a cheesy pop song. You just need to like be a human being. And like, that's all we really need to do. And like, kind of do the best for ourselves and others. So that, all that tangent said, I'm really glad that you want to focus on, you know, complex trauma healing and disability and organizing work. Yeah, go ahead.
Just thank you for sharing all that. I'm just sitting with all that for a minute. I think, yeah, there's, I'm like a quadruple Virgo. And so like a big wound for me has been like kind of shaking myself out of, a certain degree of productivity and people pleasing and like, you know, feeling like I needed to be, you know, a certain, I mean, for years, again and again and again and again, like feeling like I can't show up externally in the world until what I have to offer is perfect. And relatedly, you know, I've been listening to your podcast for the last couple of years and have been, you know, connected as a member of the Patreon for a while, like, and I actually didn't really like listening to podcasts until the pandemic started, and then I started listening to like audiobooks and podcasts, and this space has been so I don't know, it was really different from anything else that I had heard or listened to. It's particularly like, you know, there's a bunch of different herbal podcasts out there, but this is like so much more than that. And it was really something that stuck out to me as being so authentic and open and not, I love this word, didactic, like not didactic, not pretentious, like not teaching from a top down place, which is, I will say, like something that I've encountered so much from especially like white herbalists, is like kind of being like, I am the teacher, you are the pupils, and I will share the, you know, blessed wisdom that I have with you. and in this top-down hierarchical way, and your approach is so loving, and it's not that, you know, it's not, it's talking with people about their experiences and their histories and their ancestries and their ancestors and their personal practices. And in a way where it's like, you don't have to show up perfect to be here. You don't have to show up perfect to offer what you have to offer to the world. And that's so different, I think, from, especially in the age of influencers and the age of Instagram. I think we're both queers of a certain age, and like, you know, I'm 35, 35 isn't old, but I'm, you know, I don't have like social media energy. I really don't. I don't have a lot of social media energy. But I do have a lot to teach and a lot to share that I haven't quite had the right supports and the right pieces in place in order for me to really, like, I've literally, as I was telling you, I've been like hemming and hawing about starting my own podcast for the last 2 years. And anytime I began to really sit down and plot it out, I became exhausted thinking about starting something from scratch. And what you've created here is this beautiful community, which you will bring with you into this next chapter of your career, of your life, of your business. And for me, I'm like really excited to work with this foundation that exists here in this space, and also bring my own personality to it, bring my own medicine to it. And to not feel like I have to show up as, you know, as nervous as I am about like embarking on this process. Like, I feel really safe with this community that you've built, even though y'all don't know me yet. I feel safe to show up as, you know, as my authentic self, and like kind of do a trust fall into into whatever the next chapter of it will be. And my hope is to really, like I said, this is open-ended, and like I want to be co-creating the next phase of this Rise Up Good with Witch project with the patrons, with the listeners, with the followers, with your fans. Like, I want to hear what people are interested in learning about and talking about. So please reach out. I'm gonna just be accepting emails at my personal email for right now, which is manateemedicinals@gmail.com. And then things in December and January will start to really transition things over, and it'll all be there. It'll be easy for people to keep accessing.
Yeah. Another thing is, thank you for like saying nice things about me. I appreciate that. It's hard. I have my own insecurities about doing this. And I think one of the things about it is I compartmentalize a lot, whereas I get on and sometimes I get really personal when I share. Like, sometimes I share things that are incredibly personal, but then I compartmentalize it. I'm like, nope, nobody heard that. Yeah, I looked at the SoundCloud stats. This was listened to 1,000 times in 2 days, but I don't know anyone that heard, like, whatever. Like, no one in the community listened. Like, I just compartmentalize it. Like, and I'll meet someone, they'll be like, oh, I love your podcast. And I'll be like, haha. And then I'm like, oh my God, how much do they know about me? And that's the only way to do it sometimes, like, is to, you know, fake it until you make it or whatever. I don't love that saying, but it really is like having, you know, I take all my insecurities. And I do think that, like, when you're talking about, like, you know, I don't want to seem like I think that everything I know is right. I think that I went through that, those moments when I was younger, of being like insecure and like projecting that insecurity, almost like, yes, I'm very certain that I know this. Like, please, nobody tell me that I'm wrong, because like, I have to be right about this. Like, I feel like I did have moments like that in my earlier years, but then getting to a point of just being like, you know, total ego death of like, well, I don't know. And like, it doesn't matter that I don't know, because I'm just some guy, like, it doesn't matter. I think it's going to be great. Like, I'm excited. I think taking on like the storytelling, disability justice is important. So I think like what I've been thinking about is just, you know, I ran myself ragged for many years in capitalism, like trying to be good enough and do enough and be accomplished and successful. And that was a lot of internalized ableism because I really couldn't, you know, I was having, you know, neurodivergent burnout and depressive episodes and, you know, like losing, like burning out completely on things that I was enjoying like so quickly because I wasn't listening to my own body. So I think,
We're conditioned not to,
you know, exactly.
You're conditioned to be a good worker. And like, even as recently as this year, even after a lifetime of experience of negative experiences for me, like working for other people and trying to be a good, like I've spent my whole life trying to show up as like, quote unquote, a good employee and a good worker. And like, just like so much masking, which I know you relate with as well. It just like, I'm recovering from a lifetime of, on top of all that other shit, of masking and really going through the world kind of pretending to be a level of able-bodied and like well that I am not. And, you know, we got to give ourselves credit for like how, you know, how long we've been living with these kinds of illnesses and how much time we spend being really sick and not being able to show up honestly about that, not even being able to be honest with ourselves about how sick we are, and about how much that affects our day to day, let alone being able to be vulnerable in a culture that is literally like anti-vulnerability. Talking about Brené Brown, geez. I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just like so much of my, you know, I feel a mirrored experience with that of like, I don't know all of your journey, but I think we have really, you know, similar kind of parallel journeys towards like a lifetime of trying to work for other people, really just not working out and not for so many reasons. And then really coming, I'll speak just for myself, like coming to the realization that like, you know what, I have to, not because I want to be a fun, cool, like hip influencer who has a lot of people who love her, not because I need to like show up performatively to be liked and to like fulfill people's needs or to do things for other people, but because like, I don't have any other choice except to do my own thing and to figure out how to continue creating a life for myself where I don't have to live in this constant empty cup state, which is where I was for like, you know, over 10 to 15 years of my life. It's just really running on empty. I think a lot about, I won't go too deep into this, but I think a lot about the generational difference in like me trying to explain any of this shit to my boomer parents who are, you know, very supportive of what I do. I'm privileged to have them like excited for me on this career path that I'm in, but also like really disappointed that all the other stuff I tried to do in my life in their eyes like didn't work out. And them seeing that as a failure, I was like seeing things kind of black and white in this capitalistic way where like you're never enough for other people, you're never doing enough, you're never showing up enough. If you, what do you mean you took a sick day? What do you mean you took a sick year? What do you mean you took 3 years of your life after the most traumatizing thing that's ever happened to you because you literally like had to lay down for 3 years? I think what I see happening is a really big generational, and I think you talk about this a lot on the podcast in regards to astrology, like through the lens of astrology, but I see this really big reckoning happening, especially with like millennials and like Gen Z, where we're like, how many more years of drinkable water do we have? I don't have the fucking time. Like they're literally like, we don't have time to keep pretending to keep showing up as like not ourselves and working ourselves to the bone, literally working ourselves to death and to sickness, let alone through fucking multiple pandemics. Like we have to create our own, you know, we take care of us. We have to create our own mutual aid networks, our own community acupuncture clinics, our own ways for people to get body work in an accessible way. And I think that's really like, even from the beginning, even though I didn't have the language for it necessarily, like that's what I've been trying to do, is keep co-creating medicine and spaces where people can be on their healing journey and figure out what it is that they, how do we sustain ourselves? How do we sustain each other? How can we keep showing up in this incredibly violent society that we are in like a loving way, even when we ourselves are dealing with stress and burnout and disability. And now I think you were getting into talking about like long COVID, and I am going to be talking about that a bit, I think, in the context of this podcast and disability justice, because, you know, disabled people have really been just abandoned and just left behind. Sick people have been really, really getting the short end of the stick on this one. And our lives are continuing to shrink. I have friends who like sincerely have not left their homes in 3 years. And I've had the privilege to at least like, I haven't been on a plane in 3 years, but like I've been able to go on little vacation, mini vacations to the coast sometimes, you know, but I've been indoors for like 3 years. And so I think I will be talking, you know, a bit about that and about that experience of continuing to exist and try to bring positive work to share with others, even through and find ways to connect in with community, even through the barriers that are still there for many of us.
Yes, absolutely. And like, you know, for everything I'm saying about like, I personally am burnt out on internet communication and like influencer culture, because I really fell into that. And it's not for me. And, but yeah, it is, that is to say, like, thank God for the internet and for social media and for podcasts, because for folks that are homebound completely, and for folks that are very limited about when they can leave the house, the internet does, and like social media does provide connection in that way. Mm-hmm. I think
for better and for worse.
Yeah, exactly. I think for me, like the thing is, I realized like I can read something someone writes on the internet because I don't hear their tone. I don't see their facial expressions. So I'm just like, this person hates my guts, because they said, and I just like read it as being that way, but that wouldn't necessarily happen for me in real life at this point in my life. Like I've done a lot of work around like my being able to relate to other people. So it's like, I think at this juncture in my life, when I look at someone's face and I hear them speak, I, you know, you have the empathy, the access to the empathy and the connection to where they're coming from. Whereas if you're just looking at like memes that are just like, let's put this complex issue into one sentence, which who's been guilty of that? This guy. Okay. So like, I'm not like shaming anybody else for it, but it just makes things very binary and black and white. And yeah. I want to move us in. I love this conversation. I'm really excited. I'm going to be a listener of the new, like, Rise of Good Witch 2.0. But I want to, you have this idea of pulling three cards, and we were sort of like, let's have the conversation first and then let's pull the cards just to see what they have to say and kind of break them down. So does this feel like a good time to do that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, let's do it.
And I made this, I'll show you, because it's all melted down. I don't want the ceramic plate to break, I hope. But I have this candle that I put essence of California poppy and calla lily for you in it. And that's for confidence and bringing together different aspects of gender and gender identity. And then there's roses and hawthorn berries in it. And yeah, it's all melted down into this like ceramic thing right now. So I'm really proud of this. That's been burning all day in honor of not only me finishing setting up my herbal apothecary, but also conversation. So do you want to pull, do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
Thank you so much for that candle. That's so sweet. Yeah. That's really lovely. I love candle magic. And I usually just make candles for myself. I have one going that's off camera. It is a pumpkin spice candle from Big Lots. With nothing special added to it, but
more energy is
it's going, you know, the intention is there. I'm a very much like a Dollar Tree witch, so that's where, which is, you know, just as good, but I like, that's so lovely. Thank you for the spell and the intention.
That would be a good episode. Is like, I know I have some friends that are all about like Dollar Tree magic, like accessible Dollar Tree magic. So that could be a good episode, how to like create your spell work with the dollar store.
Oh, there's a whole world of, there's a whole Pinterest world around that. It's kind of a rabbit hole. Yeah, people are already on that, how to make like a floral witch hat with stuff from the Dollar Tree, et cetera. I try to not give them my money anymore.
I know.
They're not a good company. They like don't give their employees bathroom breaks and shit.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I also live near a Dollar Tree. So I get some stuff there sometimes. I will let you pull cards now.
Did you want me to start or did you want to start?
Yeah, you go ahead and start.
Okay.
Are we asking sort of the same questions or you tell me how you want to do it?
Yeah, I think I liked your suggestion of pulling 2 to 3 cards each. And then like, I don't know if you wanted to do, like I generally as a tarot reader don't do like past, present, future, but I could do that. We could do a 3-card past, present, future.
Yeah, and it could be, it could be kind of, you know, open to interpretation as well. What deck do you have today?
This is Portals by Taylor Ursula, who's been on the podcast a few times.
Oh, cool.
Oh my goodness, of course. I was like, my future is gonna be. So here's the 3 cards I got. I was like, oh, this isn't gonna call me out that badly. 7 of Cups, Page of Pentacles, and the Devil is my future. Woo! Okay, so you know, I think this makes a lot of sense. Like, I think like, you know, 7 of Cups is, and I love what Taylor did with this illustration. 7 of Cups is about dreaming up and coming up with new visions for the future. But sometimes it can be a little Neptunian and it can be a little bit just disconnected from reality or kind of like running from reality. So when I see this and like, of course, you know, I guess this is kind of like a personal message for me. But about leaving the podcast is that when I reflect back 5 years ago when I started this podcast, I mean, I would love to have a conversation with that person because a lot has happened since then. And I think like, you know, one of the biggest things that happened, you know, during Rise Up Good Witch for me, obviously the pandemic, you know, moving to a new place, getting like new health diagnoses, I also had a very close person and my friend like suddenly pass away, which I've talked a lot about on the podcast. And it's actually the 3-year anniversary of their death on Tuesday. Mm. And, you know, I don't know if I would have been where I'm at with Rise Up Good Witch if that person hadn't come into my life like so powerfully around the time that I was starting Rise Up Good Witch. Like they came into my life and just they helped me and they changed me and they gave me so much love and support like that I hadn't experienced before. And I feel like they really grounded me. They like kept me really grounded. And when, you know, and one thing that we really bonded over is we were both learning astrology at the time. We were born 1 day apart. So our charts were nearly the identical.
Wow.
So we got really into talking about Pluto. And, you know, that comes up, you know, devil is Capricorn, but I immediately thought about ego when I see the devil. We got really into like studying astrology together and talking about that. And, you know, I don't know, there's so many levels to that. And like the fact that I hope that it's not weird that I'm bringing this up, but it's like what came through. Cause I think this friendship, so I think of Seven of Cups as like me in a younger place, starting Rise Up Good Witch from a place of scarcity, from a place of like, I've always wanted to do this and I never had the guts. I always wanted to, you know, be a plant medicine maker and a professional tarot reader, but instead I went to grad school where I had, you know, so much of my mental health and like abilities just like stripped down to the core. So starting Rise Up Good, which I think really was like dreaming up, like what could my life, like how can I put faith in this? Because, you know, one thing I thought about when I started Milk Thistle, most people have been very, very encouraging of me. The vast majority of people have been like, wow, this is amazing, Karina. I'm going to support you. Some people have not. And I have been very afraid. I've been like, well, what happens if I can't do this? What happens if this is too hard? What happens if I have a mental breakdown? What happens if I get sick? And I think like, I didn't have that when I started Rise Up Good Witch. I was fully in that sort of like, that place of being like, just do it. Like you've always wanted to do this, do whatever it takes, do it. And if you're insecure and you're having confidence issues, deal with that later. But like, this is your only option right now, because grad school only taught you that you will never survive. You will never make it in capitalism. You'll never be happy in a 9-to-5. It'll never be healthy for you. It's like a road to self-destruction. So try this out. Even if it means getting in a lot of debt, living out of your car, in the desert, et cetera, you know? So Seven of Cups is like that, you know, it's the prequel to the Eight of Cups, which is the journey. So it's like dreaming up what it is that you want. Page of Pentacles being the second card, you know, for me, I think that's really about like, I think in the last couple of years in Rise Up Good Witch, I've been doing ego work for years, but I had to do ego work with like, I have a platform now. People look to me for things. How do I make sure I'm showing up in my integrity? How do I make sure I'm holding space well? And then because of that, like Page of Pentacles is the body. So how am I treating my body? And then like, you know, getting real about like taking care of my thyroid. I think like Page of Pentacles is like about capacity. And I always was a workaholic. And now I have to be like, no, you don't have as many productive hours in the day. You're tired. You're sore. You're brain fog. Like it's like, you just can't think and work the way that you used to. So I think Page of Pentacles is like the aging process. Also, it's like getting older, getting sicker, maybe getting less physically capable, and then being okay with that. Being like, what can I work? How can I go from here? Devil, of course, calling me out. But I'm going to do to myself what I do to my clients. The devil doesn't mean you're evil. The devil just means that you have capacity to look at your shadow. So a lot of people think of my work, you know, I'm a student of Pluto. I've been a student of Pluto since 2016. That's been a big driving factor, is like looking at my ego, my access to privilege as a white person, like the ways that my trauma has made me harmful, like the ways that I have shown up toxic in my life, the ways that I have like completely invalidated my own experiences better than anybody else ever could, you know, like I have gaslit myself better than anyone else can. And I think like the devil shows up to be like, yes, it's very easy. And I don't know if you do this, Tavi, like with your CPTSD, it's easy to be like, just going over this bend and then there's the rainbow and the green pasture and everything's great from here on out. And I used to do that and I don't do it anymore. So when I see the devil, I'm like, yes, I'm in Milk Thistle. It feels beautiful. I'm excited. My community's super excited and supportive of me. And I feel very loved for that. Am I always going to feel like that? No. I'm definitely going to have my moments. I'm definitely going to have I'm still going to have my depressive episodes. I'm still going to have my attachment wounds come up. I'm going to still have days where I'm like, I don't want to go bankrupt and I catastrophize it. and never to believe that that green pasture around the bend is just going to mean no problems forever.
Wow. Thank you. That's great. That's so much resonated there for me. On that last card, in terms of like, I think it's really, I resonate with like the black and white thinking. And one of the most helpful things a therapist ever like helped me reframe and like kind of look at a perspective of was when I was very, very sick in my 20s. I don't know. I sort of felt like I was in this pit that was like very, very bottomless. It was like very dark. And I was like, how am I? I kind of saw it as like, you're either fucked up or you're healed. Like you're either in a dark place or a place of like, you know, spiritual bypassy white light. Right. And what this therapist, thank you, Dr. Friedman, what this therapist helped me totally zoom out and like look at a bigger landscape of like, there's this world of a life ahead of you. And there are other holes, but they're shallow. Like you're going to fall in some holes, but you've developed the skills and the community and the space around you to like, not have everything be the end of the world every time. You know, you won't always feel like this. Things will change. That is the only, you know, constant is like, there will be ups, there will be downs. You will fall into little holes but it will be okay. There is more, you know, there is more sturdy ground and like stable land ahead of us than there are holes. And maybe the holes aren't like as deep and dark as we think that they are. But that's what came up for me with that. That card.
Yes, that is that something you think about a lot now? Like it's like a little nugget that you come back to when you feel yourself going to that pattern?
Gosh, that therapist was like several therapists ago. It was like almost 10 years ago now. And so I don't think about that anymore because now it's actually just kind of a part of my, you know, it's a part of my structure and like, yeah, I don't have to consciously check myself as much. Because it's just, you know, now it's more a part of how I, the baseline of like how I approach things and how I see just shifting that perspective. And the same thing is for pain, you know, like you're going to have bad pain days. You're going to have good, better pain days. Mm-hmm. Maybe it will never be zero, but like, can you build the trust and like knowledge of your own body to like know what a 5 pain day looks like versus a 10 pain day, that kind of a thing.
Mm. That's beautiful. And you know what I love about that is that you're like, I don't think about it anymore because I integrated it. You didn't say that exact way, but that's kind of like the idea that I heard, and that's beautiful.
Oh yeah, thank you. That's the language. That's the word that I meant, is that I, you know, I did integrate it. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, I've also experienced ego death several times, you know. 0 out of 10, would not recommend. JK, you have to, but there has been a lot of integration on the journey for sure. Any other thoughts about those cards?
No, I think I like shared a mouthful. And I would love to hear your cards if you pulled them.
Okay. This is the deck I work with the most. It's called Magical Dogs. It's really sweet. It is by Mickey and Daniel Mueller. And let's see, what I like about this deck is it's like kind of a non-traditional, like instead of, it has major and minor arcana, but it's instead of a lot of the same cards as like kind of more standard tarot decks, it has elements. So there's a fire pack, a sea pack, a sky pack, and an earth pack. And let's see what I got here. Okay, so look at notes. This is the Justice card. Oh, what a sweet, I don't know what that is. I think it's a Basenji. Read about that. So the Justice card A jackal-like golden pharaoh hound gazes stoically as she rests upon the desert sands flanked by pillars. They're symbols of stability. They also represent the bridge that unites the divine justice from above with the earthly justice below. In her mouth, she holds an ancient bronze scale. The scales are in balance. Fair judgment made and consequences accepted. The system of law and justice are equal no matter canine status, and all members of the pack are ensured of its protection. So yeah, keeping things in balance, paying close attention to your actions because there are always consequences involved. When looking at a situation, don't bark up the wrong tree. Use critical thinking skills and weigh all the facts. Keywords are like fairness, reason, objectivity, consequences, cause and effect, truth, responsibility. So yeah, being, you know, if we're looking at that as a, you know, as a past card or as, gosh, I forget who it was. There's this great podcast I was listening to. It's another witchy art creativity podcast. And the host was talking about how they don't do past, present, future readings. They do like doorway, like what is the door, what is the lock, and what is the key. I really like that.
So
it didn't come up reversed, but the reversed reading is like, we are accountable for our own actions. Are you being honest with yourself? Looking for the wrong individual to blame flies in the face of truth. Allowing injustice won't make the world a better place. Okay. I'm going to keep thinking about that and see how these all come together. This is very sweet. This is the middle card I got, is Six of Earth. A few different dog friends in that. This is a deck that I use a lot, but I routinely get a lot of the same cards every time I use it. Among the earth, so Six of Earth, among the earth pack may be found many of the greatest artisans in all the arcane canine realms. A crafter of toy and charms, a beagle has set out on a journey upon a forest path, bearing with him six of his latest creations. Beside the road, he has encountered three others of his pack, and seeing that they are in need, he distributes freely to them some gifts from the works he has in abundance. Take note that his wealth is in symbolic balance, for though he has given, oh, they have toys, like a pile of toys. That's really sweet. He has given three toys away, three still remain. He knows such charity is repaid with the joy of gratitude. So yeah, it's a lot about sharing with others, especially when you have plenty to offer from the heart. Whether granting or receiving, know that the act of giving is beneficial to both parties, and helping others help themselves is as valuable as material support. Giving your time or teaching skill can be life-changing. If receiving, commit to an exchange of energy, even if it's the promise to pay it forward to someone else in need in the future. Yeah, that really rings true with me. I've been thinking a lot about, I've struggled a lot as a disabled person who like needs a lot of help pretty routinely. I've struggled with not just accepting help, not just asking for help, but then receiving the help without compulsively offering something, without compulsively being like, oh, but what else can I do for you? Can I trade you this? Can I give you body work? Can I give you a tincture? Like, and it's something I'm still really working on in myself is like, I don't know what would it be like to just receive and to not be, in 2020, I'll keep this short, but like in 2020, I was doing a lot of mutual aid with the surge of like, you know, I joined this group of like mostly white herbalists doing mutual aid work, which was really lovely. But it also, you know, we ran out of steam pretty quickly, but we gave out over 500 pieces of medicine that summer, you know, at different events and in care packages. And I think like the burnout in groups like that was really quick. It happened really fast. Like this was pre-vaccines, you know, like we didn't know what was going to happen with the pandemic. We didn't know how long this was going to last. And I think, you know, something I've gone through with the process of processing, taking over this project is like, I have to set up the right supports in place in order for me to be able to like give and take in a sustainable way. Mm-hmm. And in order for me to show up in a way that is not just like constantly depleting my own cup. Mm-hmm. You know, in a healthy way. And I think that it makes sense that most of us struggle with all those things, being vulnerable, asking for help, admitting that we need help in the first place, et cetera. So there's that. And shifting the nature of like our transactional relationships is another thing that I think about. I love this card. This is the Sky Alpha female. She's a beautiful pit bull sitting on a mountain, looking out at it. She has an incredible feather necklace with arrowheads. Sky Alpha female.
And what card is that? What does it represent? Which card?
Yeah. So the Sky Pack. So this Sky Alpha female represents, she may appear aloof and uncaring as she analyzes all she senses with calm intelligence, yet she simply prefers to base her decisions on logic and reason. An American Pit Bull Terrier, she lies on a cliff's edge and observes a beautiful spring day. She wears a collar of green aventurine, a stone of perception and intelligence, and the subtle colored feathers of female birds, symbolic of her quick and impartial thinking. So it's about like intellectual, like thinking, being aloof, independent, strong, discerning, perceptive, you know, quadruple Virgo things. It was reversed. in the reverse, I'll just read it because it's a read. Your analytical nature can come off as cold and uncaring if you're not careful. Pure intellect can be off-putting to others and leave you on a narrow-minded view. While casting your eyes over a situation, apply some compassion along with your clear insight. Thanks, cards. I think I've done a lot of work around that, but for sure, I have spent a lot of this like herbal medicine journey not showing up because I just overanalyze too much. I overthink things, and that overthinking can really be like clutter around you. Like it can really keep you from connecting with others. It can keep you from connecting with your own body. And I think that's a really good through line to like the work that I'm moving into in terms of offering education on like nervous system education and somatic work, studying more about somatic work myself, is that like, you know, yes, talk therapy is helpful. Yes, taking classes and learning a lot about a subject is helpful, but like, especially in regards to healing work and herbalism and all these things, like I am living proof, I'm living example of like, you can't just sit around stuffing yourself full of knowledge and not applying it anywhere. And that is like, has been a lesson for me repeatedly. And I think it will continue to be is like, yes, you know these things and you have these experiences and what good is it? What good is any of it if it's not supporting other people, if you're not bringing it out into the world. So that's a great place to close up right there is just how grateful I am to you for creating this project and sustaining it for so long and making it so wonderful. And I just want to offer so much gratitude and thank you to you and to everyone who has listened to this podcast and been a patron, all the just everyone out there who's following and listening, I hope you stay along for the next tier of this journey on this end of things. And I hope you continue to follow Karina and all the amazing things that they're putting out into the world. And literally, you're building it behind you. It's so cool to see your shelves up. And to, like, I'm just so stoked for you.
Thank you. I'm really stoked for you taking this over. Like, I feel really good about it. You know, we've talked about that and I don't have any doubts. I really haven't had any doubts about you. I've had doubts about me getting my shit together, but I don't have doubts about that anymore. I do have doubts about the world collapsing, but we can't do anything about that. So
yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be doing what it do. We're going to keep living. We're going to keep trucking through it and see what we can bring to offer. I pulled a card for you and I'm going to read it. It's 9 of C, the C pack. And it's this happy dog sitting, holding a fish and smiling in like a hut of fish by some water.
So that's 9 of cups?
9 of C. Yeah. So not, it doesn't like the elemental packs don't directly correlate to like cups or swords. But there's some similarities. It is a time of fulfillment. Your dreams are at hand. Look around at what you've accomplished. What do you wish? The universe is conspiring to reveal your heart's desire. Comfort, satisfaction, and enjoyment are the order of the day as your hard work is rewarded. Delight in the abundance and count your blessings. Gratitude brings more of the same.
That's amazing. Thank you for pulling that card for me. I love that card. Well, thank you. Thank you for saying nice things to me. Thank you for reaching out. And thank you for taking this project on. Like, I have a lot of faith in you. I think this is going to be great. And I'm excited to listen. And I might, like, we've had lots of talks about it because I've had to be like, okay, Karina, when you let it go, you let it go. And you can't, you know, be like, you know, we already kind of discussed all of that. But I do hope, you know, I recently have been like, oh, I'm thinking of all these people I'd recommend to be guests. So I might reach out to you if I think of like good guest ideas to just be like, hey, check this person's work out. But people did that to me with my podcast all the time. And 99% of the time I was like, I don't know, it's intuitive, but there's so many great people out there. And yes, thank you so much, Tavi. And I'm so excited for the future of Rise Up Good Witch. And thanks for having this conversation with me.
Thank you too. I'm so excited to get going. And I will say right now, I'll just offer like a soft, since nothing on my website is up and running yet, I will offer just like a soft call for either people who have already been on the podcast and want to return, or folks who are interested in being a guest. Just a soft call to like reach out to me via my email. And we can talk about it with the launch of my apothecary and the official launch of the new Patreon and podcast platform. I will be putting in like a Google form, like an inquiry form that will hopefully streamline people, like a more official formal form for people to, you know, send in their info if you're interested in being a guest. But yeah, this is just a soft call for now. So I'm awesome. so excited to talk with everyone.
Yay. And I'll put all that info in the show notes if you are listening from one of the hosting softwares, or if you're listening on the Patreon, I'll have that information there as well. So thank you so much again. And thank you to listeners. Thanks for sticking around to episode 100. I know that the future, it is what it will be, but it will be interesting. We can say that.
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Good Witch podcast. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/riseupgoodwitch, where a pledge of $5 or more per month gets you access to extra content and helps support the production of the show. And go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a review. You can also check out the website for tarot readings and apothecary and other offerings. Thanks so much, y'all. See you next time.